You're listening to What's Up Digital Lending, the podcast that explores the exciting world of digital lending. We make a deep dive into the most important issues and talk to the leading minds of the ecosystem.
Welcome everyone. My guest today in this episode number 23 is Lukas Wüst, founder and CEO of Credo, a digital lender from Puy in Switzerland. For those who don't know where Puy is, it's a little town east of Lausanne at Lake Geneva. I've been there a couple of times and I can assure you guys it's really, really beautiful. You should definitely visit it. Credo specializes in corporate financing, and this is made possible by the so-called Credo Debt Fund number 1. Today, Lukas will tell us how he is using the funds, which are expected to grow to ₹500 million by the end of 2027. He will also tell us a lot about the investors and so much more. My name is Konstantin Fabricius and I'm the host of this episode. Before we start the show, pay attention to the following, please. The content of our podcast is expressly not to be considered investment advice, but is intended solely for your information. We do not assume any liability and will not share any profits. Okay, let's now head to Switzerland and the mountains. Welcome, Lukas.
Thank you, Konstantin. Good morning, Konstantin. Good morning, everyone. Greetings from Switzerland. Very happy to be with you this morning and thanks again for the invitation.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Lukas, for joining our podcast. Yeah, let's start with our conversation and perhaps, Lukas, would you like to tell us a bit about you? Who are you and where are you from exactly in Switzerland?
Perfect. So yeah, Lukas Wüst. I am the founder and the CEO of Credo. Passionate about entrepreneurship and innovation. I am a proud dad. I am a happy husband and someone who loves travel and good moment in life. I come originally from a little town near Basel, so in Romandy, French-speaking part of Switzerland, as you can hear. And now I live near Lausanne in a city called Trélé.
Yeah, great. As you know already, but the audience may not know already, is that I studied in Lausanne in the 90s. And I know that region where you are living today, and it's really a very great region. And I can recommend traveling to Lausanne and Lac Léman. It's really great. Yeah, I am a little bit jealous that you are now sitting next to Lac Léman. Yeah, great region. Wonderful. Enjoy.
You are more than welcome in the next few weeks, like everyone hearing us, more than welcome here in this beautiful region, as you said.
Thank you very much. I will get back to this. Let's take a deep dive into Credo. That's the issue of today's podcast. What exactly is Credo's business model? What do we have to know about it?
So Credo actually is a platform for entrepreneurs, backed by entrepreneurs and built for entrepreneurs. And what we do at Credo, we finance the ambition of Swiss SMEs. So really focus on lending. We're a lending platform for Swiss SMEs. And what we would like to do, we offer the fastest and most seamless way for a Swiss SME to access financing. So we are completely independent. And we provide money and financing fund to Swiss SME through our lending platform.
Okay. And how do you know that you are the fastest platform doing this?
So the best way to get this this information is really the feedback from the various SME. As we know, the feedback of clients is the most important and the best proof. So it's really the feedback that we got from the market, from most of the credit that we granted since our start.
Okay, you know, entrepreneurs like you usually start with, you know, some kind of deficiency they see in the market and that they would like to tackle with their idea. And what about you and Credo? What kind of deficiency did you notice in the Swiss market that made you founding your company? What is it about entrepreneurs you are tackling?
I mean, I spent almost 20 years in the banking industry. So during 20 years, I was in contact of entrepreneurs every day, speaking with them, understanding what they need and what was the key issue. And the feedback I got was they really struggled to access to credit, especially for a credit above one million. That was really complicated. The processes were really slow, and it's also what I experienced during my banking journey. The client journey was not such great, so we can also really improve that. And also one really key topic that I saw is that entrepreneurs really feel alone. They are really alone, especially for the smallest structure, and they really need like clear and transparent dialogue with a lending partner. And actually, when we see the market, especially in Switzerland, you have international banks. They focus on larger tickets. The cantonal banks, they cannot absorb, all the credit request, especially after the big problem that Credit Suisse faced. As you all know, Credit Suisse stopped his activity, was a takeover by UBS. And I mean, for the Swiss market, was really, really, really a big, big topic. Credit Suisse had a very important place and role in the Swiss economy, and UBS cannot and don't want to absorb all the volume from Credit Suisse. Cantonal banks cannot also grant all the loan to Swiss SMEs. So once again, really the Swiss SME feel alone and don't really have any option to get financing on a very quick and efficient way.
I find this comprehensible. Just one additional question on this. You have mentioned twice that Credo are focusing on the Swiss market. Have you ever been thinking about going beyond? And if not, why you are so predominantly exclusively focusing on the Swiss market? What's the reason to this?
I mean, the Swiss market, Switzerland is a small country, I agree, but the Swiss market for the corporate lending, it's quite important. And we are speaking about 80 billion, according to the last numbers from SNB, granted to Swiss SME, corporate loan without mortgages, very important. So 80 billion. And most of these loans are granted to SME with less than 10 people. So meaning 50 billion of volume granted to SME below or with less than 10 people. And if you increase to 50 employees, you have a volume of 75 billion. So that's already an important market. And our know-how, our network, our is really linked to the Swiss market, not to other kind of other market in Europe. So it's why we really only would like to focus on the Swiss market.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, thank you. How many projects have you guys financed to date?
So now we launched the platform two years ago. So we have sourced 120 million volume, Swiss francs approximately, and we granted a little bit less than 20 million. So almost more than 70%, 70 companies to date. But we really now feel important traction the last few months. So we really see that the volume is increasing since now 5 months.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the picture of your business model you're representing as Credo in the Swiss society? I ask this question because in Germany, for instance, you know, we have this very traditional three-column banking system, and there are now the digital lenders breaking into these core markets. And it's a kind of discussion, let's say, in Germany, but not only in Germany. We have heard about this already from Great Britain, from Spain, from the French market. So what about Switzerland? How do people think about it?
I mean, it's quite new. We are really the first actor, one of the first actors to come with this idea, especially backed by a private debt fund. That's really the first exclusivity for the Swiss market. But from a cultural point of view, you are right. I mean, if you discuss with Swiss entrepreneurs, and ask them, 99% of entrepreneurs will say, okay, if I need financing, I will contact my bank and not alternative lenders. So we still have a lot of work to do to change this image and to really support this cultural shift. Now, the last numbers I got is less than 2% of the Swiss SME are financed by alternative lenders, which is very small comparing to Germany, comparing to you mentioned France or Great Britain. I mean, the percentage in Switzerland is really, really low. But the feedbacks we got from the market and entrepreneurs is once they experience this new system, they're really, really happy and they don't want to come back. So we already grant few loans to the same company and they told us, no, but look, we don't want to come back now. We really like this alternative solution with this entrepreneurial approach, with a quick answer and transparent dialogue.
Mm-hmm. You've just mentioned that Credo are one of the first digital lenders in the market, or even the first. Who are the competitors, if there are any at all at the moment?
So you have the peer-to-peer platform in Switzerland since now a few years, but they have a different business model. They don't have a fund to lend the money to the different. They cannot rely to a fund to grant the loan, and they have more like a technical tech DNA. Yeah, the purpose of this platform is really to put into the same level the borrower and the lender. Otherwise, we also have the banks as competitors. But most of the competition are really from the banks and the peer-to-peer platform.
Okay. Can you please elaborate a little bit on your origination process so that we are able to get a better picture of how fund and origination belong together? So, yeah, it's obviously different compared to these crowd lending models, absolutely. And how does it work in your case, in Credo's case?
Okay, you mean in terms of origination on the investor side? Huh? Okay, because as I said, we rely on the Credo Debt Fund 1, the first private debt fund in Swiss franc, and we only work with qualified investors. If you check the peer-to-peer platform, you will see that many of the investors are really retail investors. So that's more complicated to scale, at least on the Swiss market. But thanks to this fund, we can really attract ultra high net worth entrepreneurs, individuals, or also institutional clients to be able to capture more money, to invest more money on the fund side, and to be able to scale much faster.
Mm.
We can also structure our capital of the fund on a different way to get some leverage to some point of view or point of time, and maybe structure a warehouse vehicle. So that's much more efficient in terms of capital structure as well.
Mm. And what does the typical investor look like? Can you tell us about it, about this structure?
Most of our investors currently are entrepreneurs, ultra high net worth entrepreneurs. We have the first private banks that invested in the fund for their clients. We have the first institutional clients, semi-institutional, and also some asset managers that would like to invest through a feeder that we will launch next month. So it's a diversified typology of investors, but mainly for the time being, entrepreneurs that invest their own money.
Okay. And are there also any high net worth individuals?
Yes, we have few individuals, high net worth individuals that support the fund. And now that we will launch this feeder, that will be also a very key accelerator for such investors.
Mm-hmm. And can you perhaps tell us a little bit about the share of funding from high net worth individuals compared to institutional investors who are representing the larger group? Just to, you know, I'm just asking this question to get a better impression of who the investors are.
Yeah, I can be really clear and transparent on this. 90% of our current investors are the seed investors, mainly people from our network, and it's composed by entrepreneurs and a few family offices, well-known family offices around Switzerland. So now we are really starting to ramping up the fund, the volume, and we are able to attract now since few months all the typology of investors like asset managers, private banks, but we are just starting this journey with them. So they will become more and more important, especially institutional, but for the time being, it's really entrepreneurs.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you so far. So now we have a far better picture of who your borrowers are and who your investors are. And let's perhaps now shed light on these two groups together. And my next question is how you guys ensure that high quality loans and investments are offered to your investors. So how do you bring borrowers and investor interests together? How exactly are doing this?
So most of the team in Credo has a strong experience in risk management or advising corporate clients. So we have, I really think, and that's, I think, one of the key value of Credo, we have a strong team in terms of analysis, and we are very close to the Swiss market. So first of all, we source most of our credits through partnerships. So partnerships that people are really also close to the SME. So that's a first checked. And after, we have an IT platform that can collect information very quickly, external one and internal information like the financial statement of the company. We have our own scoring model, thanks to the platform that we developed together with Taylor, our key strategic tech partner. So that's all allow us to really have a clear and quick picture of the company and the financial statement and the robustness of the cash flow and the business model. And then we visit also all the company that we would like to grant a loan to. So we really have an in-depth analysis of the business model. And this visit also provide us very key information and valuable analysis. And after, we have an investment committee that take the decision for the various loans. So far, I would like to say the risk are very well under control. We only had one default. And I mean, the credit is theoretically, or is practically in default because a monthly installment were not paid during 3 months. But based on the quality of the guarantee that we have, and it's also a healthy company, and that's strange to say, but it's a healthy company. Here we have more an issue with a shareholder, actually. So we are very comfortable with the risk exposure. Investors won't lose any money. Otherwise, every credit are well on track. And I think during 2 years of existence and lifetime, it's a very good result. So I mean, risk management is really in the center of our preoccupation and business model.
Yeah, thank you. But still, please allow me to ask one more question on your credit risk analysis. How exactly do you perform this? You know, just to get a better picture, how you tackle this risk management issue. You know, it's really very important to understand this, you know, not too much in all details, but just to shed some more light on this, because you have repeatedly mentioned now your analysis you guys perform, and it would be really very great to learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So first of all, we don't finance any startup. Huh? So we are only financing Swiss SME with an established business model. So we are, first of all, cash flow driven. Our analysis is really cash flow driven. We would like to understand if the company has enough cash flow and sustainable way to repay the loan, and if the business model is really also sustainable in the next few years. So that's really the most important purpose of the loan, business model, and cash flow. And after we have, from a technical point of view, we ask, of course, the financial, some external data through credit reform, for example, to really have a good picture of the company. And after we can calculate a probability of default and our own scoring.
Mm-hmm. You have just mentioned data. That brings me to my next question. In your risk models, you're not able to include so much historical data as your business is quite young. And how can investors yet be sure that your ratings are sound? What can you tell us about the data quality?
So we have our own data warehouse now that we can really manage the data. One specificity, I think, for the Swiss market is that the financial are not really standard. Huh? So that's a key topic for us that we experienced during many, many years in our past job. But I mean, you really have to understand what is behind the financial of each company. And that's really our added value of the team. So we curated and developed this system to understand what is really behind the financial and the data. And now, thanks to this data warehouse, our proper data warehouse, we can also really start to benchmark this data and to analyze them. I fully agree with you. We don't have a strong or long a track record on the fund side. But I mean, because of our experience and on the whole team, we have almost inside the team between 20 to 30 years of experience with the Swiss economy, with Swiss data. So that's correct. We don't have them, especially on Credo, but on our network and based on our experience, we have such data and we have the experience of taking the good credit decision.
Mm-hmm. Can you give perhaps any numbers for both the requested volume and the actually paid out volume?
Yes. Yeah, so as I said, sourced volume is 120 million. We granted 20 million, a little bit less than 20 million to 70 companies since the launch of the fund in all region of Switzerland. So we started in a French-speaking part of Switzerland. So I mean, most of the volume are still in this region, but German speaking is really increasing. We just opened an office two weeks ago in Zurich. So now we really would like to push. And that's a key strategic objective for us, is really to grow in German speaking Switzerland. Otherwise, maybe some number that could be interesting for you and Konstantin is, I mean, in terms of sector diversification, one-fifth of the exposure is healthcare. That's really our main exposure. So we grant few loans to doctors, to clinics, to finance the equipment, working capital. Then we have with 15% of the exposure is ICT, new technology, is construction, wholesale, and retail and consumer. So in terms of diversification, the portfolio is very well diversified.
Mm-hmm. But what I meant with requested volume, you know, is, and I think that with the 120 million you have mentioned are covering another aspect, is, you know, in view of the entrepreneurs that are asking for a loan, you know, and can you perhaps, in view of the group that you are not willing to grant a loan, give some number, you know, and so that, you know, the audience is able to compare this number to the actual number of granted loans, you know. So there we can see how strict your credit risk assessment is.
Yeah, we have a conversion rate of 15%, which is quite high, huh, for a platform like us. So I would like to say, I don't have the exact number in mind, but in terms of number of requests that we got, but we can, the conversion rate is really 15%. So we have around 1,000 requests since the launch of the fund.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, let's move on to default rates and distressed loans. You have mentioned already that you guys have seen already one default, but tell us a little bit more about it. You know, how exactly do you manage defaults? What happens with the claims? So, you know, that's very important for investors so that they really know how you take it, this risk.
Yes. So a few words about our recovery philosophy, which is, as you said, very, very important. So 70 loans, one formal default, but not loss expected, should be solved in the next few weeks without any losses for the investors. So we are a platform for entrepreneurs, backed by entrepreneurs, and we would like to have this entrepreneurial approach even if difficult times. And that's very, very important. So we are very close to the borrower. We understood the business model when we granted the loan. And if a company cannot repay the monthly installment or the rates, something has changed. It's sure that something has changed between the approval and the difficulty. So first of all, very quickly, few days after we see we have an issue with unpaid monthly installment, we have a discussion or we have a quick reminder or email or phone call with a borrower. So we really try to understand first and act fast. And after we have a way of acting. We manage for the time being our recovery internally. And we would like to understand if, quite quickly, if the client is cooperative. And if it's cooperative and we understand the problem, we try to find a solution to maybe restructure the loan. We didn't need to do it since the starting of the fund, but we would like to restructure the loan or find a solution that the company can repay the loan. But of course, if we start to have a non-cooperative client, like the situation we faced, at this time, we take immediate legal action. And we really have this approach, cooperative with a potential solution or non-cooperative, at this, if we feel that we have this issue, that then we take immediate action.
Yeah, your approach is like, let's say, from entrepreneurs to the benefit of entrepreneurs, right? That's your approach.
Yeah, I mean, in our DNA and for us, it's really important during the tough time that we can be a real partner, because it's during this tough time that you really see if we have an entrepreneurial approach or not. But to find a solution, we need to be two at the same table. So we really check if we can have this cooperation with the client or not. But yeah, that's key for us. That's also key for our investors to really have this entrepreneurial approach. And based on our experience, it's also what brings the best result for the investors. Because at the end of the day, what everybody and every counterparty want is to solve this, is to solve the issue, and that the company can repay the loan and continue its life cycle. A problem can always happen. I mean, that's part of the journey of a company, but we need to understand and we need to be close to them.
Mm. Okay, now we have spoken so much about the borrowers. We have spoken so much about the investors. Let's talk a little bit about the fintech lender in between. This is Credo. And, you know, Lukas, what can you tell us about the handling of the portfolio in case of insolvency of Credo? How does it work, you know, in case Credo are going bankrupt? What's about the claims and laid down in the fund? What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so the role of Credo is really to be the investment advisor of the fund. So we rely to the Credo Debt Fund 1, but we don't manage it. Huh? It's an independent fund. That's really, really important to understand. So first of all, we work with a fund direction, an external asset, an IFM in Luxembourg, and they are completely independent. So they will continue to manage the structure in case of insolvency of Credo. But what will happen if tomorrow we have to close the door in Credo, to be really concrete? We won't be able to originate new loan, and the investors will be repaid step by step, depending of the payment of the monthly installment. But they won't be at risk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's really segregated, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this is what I was aiming at with my question, to make this absolutely clear, that things get separated in case of insolvency of Credo. Yes. Let's go back to investors again. You know, they clearly focus on both performance and on allocating enough money in the identified segments. You have already elaborated on the segments Credo are focusing on. And so how do you help your investors to achieve these two goals? What is your strategy to give your investors really the very best in view of the borrowers and or the investment targets?
I mean, first of all, is diversification. So to really have a very strong portfolio management philosophy and policy. So that's really in place, and we work it a lot on this topic last year. So that's really key, diversification, and to have a very a good risk return. We are also very transparent with our investors, so they get a monthly NAV, a monthly fact sheet, all the statistics on two pages every month. So we really want to have in our DNA to be really transparent. So they get all the details on the portfolio on a monthly basis. And again, it's to really have a strict risk management policy and approach. And I think that's really the best way to protect the interest of the investors. And I think now that the return that we are able to show month by month, even if we were at the starting point of the fund, is the best proof. So we are really on a return for Swiss francs, which is very important. Is in Swiss francs without any leverage of 5.5% since the start of the fund.
5.5% of the return.
5.5% return for diversified portfolio, BB+ rating. So I mean, for Swiss francs, it's really, really good return.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this would have been my next question on returns. Thank you for mentioning this. Thank you very much. I think that's enough of questions around Credo's business model. I think we have learned a lot about all three parties in your business model, Credo in the middle, investors on the one side and borrowers on the other side. Thank you very much for the details so far. My last question for today, let's conclude by briefly discussing the fintech ecosystem in general. You know, it's something like the crystal ball question I usually ask our guests. And how do you see the developments in digital lending in recent years? You know, and I don't mean only with respect to the Swiss market. I also mean in general, you know, the development at European level, including Great Britain and Switzerland and the EU and beyond. And which trends will have a particular impact in 2026 and beyond? You know, what's your take on this, Lukas?
I mean, I'm really convinced that alternative lenders or digital lending will have a very strong position in the near future. We see regulation is increasing. Banks are looking for alternatives also to really lower their balance sheet. We are actually in discussion with some of the banks to partnership with them. I mean, the whole sector see that we need other typology of solution to be much more quicker and to be much more efficient. And definitively, I really think that alternative lenders have a very clear future. And I mean, the technology, innovation, everything changed very, very quickly. So you need to be digital. You need to be innovative. You need to be quicker, and that's only possible with very agile a company or structure like alternative or lending platform.
Yeah, great, wonderful words. Thank you very much, Lukas. That's the end of our wonderful conversation today. Thank you so much, Lukas, for your time. It's been a pleasure podcasting with you.
Thanks to you, Konstantin. It was also a pleasure for me to discuss with you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as well. Please make sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are interested to join Lucas and many more peers at the annual conference of WhatsApp Digital Lending, please have a look on our event website. You will find the link in the show notes. And this year, Voodoo number 4 is going to take place in Paris on 24th of September. Please mark this date in your calendar. So stay safe and sound, and see you soon.